Okay, thanks, Sharon. Yeah, my name is Keith, and I'm a recovered alcoholic. I'll try and do 20 minutes. It just depends on how it goes with the topic of sponsorship. It's quite important that we discuss this and try and understand how it works and why we do it and the benefits that we get from it. My sobriety date is the 22nd of May 2000. And let me tell you, when I come to AA, I didn't come to AA to sponsor people. I didn't come to AA to go for any 12 steps. I didn't come to AA to read the big book and to carry a message. That wasn't my purpose when I first came to AA. I come to AA to learn how to drink like a gentleman and then go back to my native land in London and just live my life. But when I came here, I learned I had this illness that I needed to get a reprieve on, to get a handle on, to understand it. And the 12 steps brought that to me. When I went through the 12 steps of my sponsor, he taught me what the problem was and the solution and how to carry the message. And the book is really quite clear. On page 14 and 15 of the big book, it explains to us that if we fail to enlarge our spiritual life, which means if we don't keep spiritually fit, we're going to drink. It says if we fail to enlarge our spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice with others, if I do not carry the message to another alcoholic, it won't ensure my recovery. It won't give me immunity from drinking. And I came to AA to live my life and see my kids grow up, and see my grandkids grow up, and just get back to reality. I was full flight from reality. That outright meant defective. I couldn't stop and I couldn't stay stopped. So I finally had to learn how to sponsor. And when I got through the 12 steps, my sponsor said to me, "You need to carry the message." And let me tell you, I was quite petrified because I didn't know how to do it. I was unsure how to carry the message, how to lay out the spiritual toolkit, how to qualify the newcomer, how to give them that identification, how to make them welcome. It was really quite difficult in my early days. But let me tell you about this group quickly. This group carries so much spirit of the fellowship. There's so much enthusiasm. I see it in everybody's list as I've been here for a few weeks. And today I'm going to pick out Sandra, because Sandra has changed over the past few weeks. And I notice people when they come to AA and they start to get a grip on it, their life starts to change. The spark relights, the candle relights inside their soul, and they start to become a little bit more sober and a little bit more well. So newcomers, what's the crack? How does it work? So the idea is we get to a newcomer. Now, in AA, we're not always all going to mix. I can't sponsor every single man or every single woman because we're not all compatible. We're different walks of life, we're different traits, we're different people. We're not all cut from the same cloth. The only thing that identifies me to every one of you is I suffer this mental obsession and this allergic reaction to alcohol. And when I start, I can't stop. And that's my story. When I drink, I can't stop. And when I don't drink, I can't stay stopped. So I come to AA to find out about it. So the idea is when I speak to a newcomer, I go and say, let me pick out Jason. Jason's right in my view. I'll pick Jason out. I'm going to talk to Jason. I'm going to get a bit of communication if he goes right. So I'm going to understand. I need to know Jason's background. What's his religious leanings? Is he willing to go to any lengths? And people ask me, Keith, what's any lengths? I said, well, let me tell you one thing. We have two alternatives in AA. We have one that we're going to go into the bitter end and we're going to die drunk. We blot out our intolerable existence as best we can. And let me tell you, when I stopped drinking, it wasn't pretty. My life, my house that I lived in, the state of my internals wasn't pretty. Or we accept spiritual help, which means we have a program to follow. Now, I'm also going to say to Jason, are you willing to go to any lengths to get a spiritual experience to solve the problem that you cannot solve? So I'm going to start talking to Jason. I'm going to get him to understand what step one is. What is step one? The problem of alcoholism. What does it actually mean? I need to sit Jason down and explain in layman's simple terms that this guy or whatever woman understands exactly what we're going to talk about. Because people get really confused of what the problem is and how we apply the solution and why it works and how it works and what is God and who's God. And the questions go on, they're relentless, right? So I'm going to explain to him about the mental obsession, this justification that goes on in my mind that's going to qualify that next drink. This time it's going to be different. I'm going to control and enjoy it. The great obsession. It talks about the obsession in the book three times. It's going to qualify. This time it's going to be okay. I've been 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months. I deserve a drink. I've got a tough job. It's going to just, Jason's head will justify every single time for that drink. But we have this subtle form of insanity, and this insanity is what we call a mental blank spot. And what that really means in step one is it blocks out the consequences and the problems. The book says, we see others drinking with impunity. What does that mean? With impunity means without consequence or without problems. Normal people get drunk and don't lose their wives. Normal people get drunk and don't lose their husbands or their bank balance or their jobs. We get drunk, and let me tell you, or let me tell you about when I get drunk, I lost the wife and the kids and the bank balance and the job. The list is relentless what I lose when I drink. Now, when I'm smashing home step one with Jason, I'm going to explain exactly what this is. I'm going to sit down with Jason and remind him of the consequences when he takes a drink, what he's going to lose. And he will lose absolutely everything. But the final curtain with step one is, if Jason doesn't stop drinking, if Jason doesn't understand what it means to be a real alcoholic, he's going to take a drink and it's going to kill him. When we smash home step one, the reality is for us to drink is to die. That's the great reality of what alcoholism does to us. I'm sober 23 years and I've seen hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people come to AA, think they know better, think they've got a handle on it. Not got a sponsor, not gone for the program, not read the book, not doing service in meetings. They drink. They die. They drink, they don't come back. They come and go. Let me tell you, honestly, it's like being in a supermarket, being a checkout chick. I see people come and go. I'm not, by the way. I see people come and go all day long. I see it in AA. So I'm sitting Jason down. I'm explaining step one. Jason, if you drink, you're going to die. What happens is we stay 2, 3, 4 months sober, 2, 3, 4, 5 years sober. But if we don't solve the problem, if we don't find God or find the power, it's going to come back. We will drink 100%. I'm going to tell you a quick little story. And it's around step one because people really don't get an handle on step one. You don't get step one, the foundation stone of your recovery, for 60 pages in the big book, we smash home why we're an alcoholic. The consequences, the problems. We're going to give you stories of what happens. I had a friend of mine a long time ago. I was about, I don't know, maybe 10 years sober. This guy was 5 years sober. He said, Keith, he worked for me on a construction site. He said, Keith, I'm going to have a drink this weekend. I said, Tom, listen, I've told many people these stories. Tom, you know what's going to happen. You know the consequences. Yeah, but this time it's going to be different. So the mental obsession came back. I'm 5 years. It's only going to be 2 dates. Tom goes off and he gets drunk on the Friday night and the Saturday night. And he never turned up for work on the Monday or the Tuesday. I can't get hold of Tom on the phone. I find out 3 days later he dies. He was found dead in his flat 4 days later, drunk. Because his head justified that next drink. His head said this time it's going to be different. He never smashed in step one that he's a real alcoholic. He never went through a planned program of action to solve the problem that he couldn't stop drinking, to solve the problem he couldn't stop, the power he lacked. And this young guy was 35 years old, a good-looking young guy, and it took him. It killed him. When I'm going to smash home step one with Jason, I'm going to explain, Jason, this will kill you. I don't beat around the bush because alcoholism is a serious, serious illness. In the early days of AA, we lost thousands of people. Thousands, because people didn't understand it. We're going to lay it out. We have this mental obsession that's going to justify that first drink. We have a subtle form of insanity or the mental blank spot that's going to block out the consequences. So if Jason can't see the problems that his drinking brings on, he's going to keep drinking because it seems okay to him. He might be a blackout drinker. He might drink and then fall over and pee himself and do all sorts of things. But if he can't see the harms he does, if he can't see the consequences and the problems, Jason will carry on. So when we smash on that step one, when I'm laying that spiritual toolkit out to Jason, because now we've got a connection. Now he knows I'm armed with the facts. I know what I'm talking about. I'm a long time sober because I keep doing the same thing. If it's not Jason, it's going to be Peter. If it's not Peter, it's going to be Sharon and so on. The list is endless because I need to work with other people. That's what keeps me sober. That's what makes it the brightest spot of my life. When I come on this meeting tonight, in step 12, it says the brightest spot of my life is to see others recover. I've seen Alia change and Sharon change and Peter and endless, endless people change and start to get a spark in their eye. So I've got Jason sat down. I'm saying to Jason, do you understand, Jason? You've got an illness that's going to condemn you to take that next drink. It's going to justify that next drink, and you will drink if you don't find a solution that you can't solve, a problem you can't solve. He said, just keep understanding. We have this allergy to alcohol. What does that mean? It's the allergy that makes me alcoholic. Because when I take that one drink, that allergy kicks in, the abnormal reaction. I crave another and another, and I get drunk. So the mind is going to justify it. And when that mind says, go and take one, Keith, because it's going to be different this time, the body takes over. Because now the allergy's on me. I get thirsty when I take a drink. And once I start, I cannot stop. And that's what alcoholism is. On page 44, we have two questions to ask. I'm going to ask Jason these two questions. The first question I'm going to ask him is, Jason, can you quit entirely? We are about the 24 plan, the 24 hours a day, so one day at a time. Great in new days as a newcomer. When you're going to get a few months under your belt, 6 months, 3 months, a year, we're not doing a day at a time. This is for life. When you're going to come into AA and you're ready to do the work and you're willing to go to any lengths, this is the life you're going to lead. And I'm going to tell Jason, this is my experience. This is the benefits that I've got since I've been sober. I'm going to ask him this question. Jason, can you quit for a year or more? Jason says to me, no, I can't, Keith. And if when drinking, Jason, can you control the amount you've got? Can you control the amount you take? No, Keith, when I start, I get thirstier. Welcome to AA. Jason's a real alcoholic. Because his mind's going to justify it and his body's going to condemn it. When he understands he's got this problem he cannot fix, my job as a sponsor, and I've smashed down step one with Jason, because now he knows. He says in the book, we have to seek escape with the desperation of drowning men. We try many times to stop and we cannot stop. Many people come to AA and they relapse. They don't have to relapse. If you work with other people, if you keep spiritually fit, you need never drink again. I've told Jason, listen, Jason, welcome to AA. You don't have to drink ever again. You don't never have to be alone ever again. I'm going to offer the hand of AA. I'm going to make it welcome. And I'm going to take Jason, sorry, because you, mate. I'm going to take Jason and I'm going to lead him by the hand down that program of recovery. Then we're going to trudge that road to happy destiny. And I'm going to do the darndest I can to make sure he finds the power he lacks. Because on Jason's own power, he cannot stop. He cannot stay stopped. He cannot control the amount he takes. He's the alcoholic on page 21, the real alcoholic that cannot live life with or without it. When we've succeeded in step one and he finally understands, I'm going to say to him, Jason, we need to get to step two. We need to find that God. Are you willing to believe? And then we're going to go into a discussion about God. Because let me tell you, when I talk to newcomers about God, it brings out this antipathy. We don't hear about God. I didn't come to AA for a cult program or God or you get on my knees and pray. But when I get that, them two alternatives, when I'm going to tell Jason, you either find it, you either do or you don't. You either live or you die. You can't stop on your own power, Jason. We need to find a power that you can live by. Whether it's God or a higher power, whatever you choose to call it, and it doesn't matter what you think it is, it's that willingness to believe. I'm going to ask Jason, listen, Jason, there's a power. Do you believe that I believe? And I'm 23 years. Sure, I believe. And he can see that I believe. When we get that connection and we're going to work together and he can see that I can believe because I've got the power that I lacked and I've solved the problem, he can have that power I've got. You just need to be willing to do the work, willing to go to any lengths. And let me tell you, when I'm going to lay out this spiritual toolkit and I'm going to agree to sponsor Jason, we're not going to meet up once a month. We are not doing the step once a month. We are going to smash through this program as quick as we possibly can because Jason's got a problem that's going to kill him if he doesn't solve it. The program of AA was done in the early days in a matter of 2-3 weeks. Me and Jason are going to do 6 weeks. And within 6 weeks, he's on to step 12. He's found the power. He's recovered because he's found the power that he lacked. And then Jason's job is to work with somebody else. And when Jason's going to work with somebody else, I'm going to intervene with him. I'm going to help him. I'm going to show him. I'm going to teach him how to work with other people. When they understand that problem and he's willing in step two, he's willing to believe. Are you willing, Jason? Yeah, of course I'm willing. That's step two done. Now he's on the way. Now we're going to make a decision in three, because I have to lay out this spiritual toolkit. It tells me in step 12, on my first approach, I'm going to make him welcome. I'm going to introduce myself. I'm going to tell him that I know all about alcoholism. I'm going to lead him the way, show him the way. I'm going to calm him down. I'm going to offer him a solution. On my second visit, which will be day two, not day 22, I'm not going to text him every other day, and we're going to call, we're going to speak on the phone, we're going to meet up. These are the conditions that are worked. These are the conditions that was in the big book. And many people nowadays dilute it down. Well, just drop me a text. Let me know you're all right. Go give me a call. Let's meet up face to face. Let's go and get a coffee. Let's have a chat. In the early days, when the newcomer comes to me, they've got many problems that they can't solve. The nagging wife, the nagging boyfriend, the job, the boss, the bank. The drink drive ban, there's loads of problems. My job as a sober member of AA, a sponsor of AA, is I can't solve all these problems, but I can give him a bit of a reality check. I can give him the guidance and wisdom from an old guy that's been down that road, that's had the ban, the bank manager, the nagging wife, the nagging husband. I've been there. I wear the trousers. I can explain to him, Jason, it will get better. Don't give in. Don't throw the towel in. We made it step two. We're willing to go to any lengths. We're willing to believe in the power. Now we're going to lay step three out for him. We're going to make a decision. I'm going to get him on his knees with me. We're going to say the step three together. We're going to offer ourselves to God. Why? Because all the time Jason runs his show, all the time Jason runs on his self-will, he drinks. His life's unmanageable, because that's what Jason does and that's what Keith does. If Keith runs on my own self-will, I get drunk. My life's a mess. My life's a car crash. The wife, the boss, the health, the finances, the children, they all suffer as a result of my drunken behavior, as a result of Keith's will. So when I get to step three, we're going to make that decision. Me and Jason are going to get on our knees and we're going to say, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me. I'm going to offer myself to God. Because I can't manage my life. I can't stop drinking on my own power. I need to invite God in. God's not that rude to intervene in your life without you asking, without you seeking the power you lack. And I didn't want to believe in God. Let me tell you one thing, please. I didn't believe in God. That wasn't my thing. I actually thought I was God. Right? And then it proved I wasn't when I couldn't stop drinking and I've been in and out of jail. I'm not God, right? I only prayed to God when I was in trouble. So me and Jason, we're going to do the step three prayer. We're on our knees. I'm going to tell Jason, you're not running the show now, mate. Every morning, you're going to say your step three prayer. You're going to invite God into your house, into your life. You're going to call me. And what we're going to do when you call me, Jason, we're going to plan your day. What are you going to do?
It's 2 minutes, please, Keith.
Yeah, I think I might go a bit longer. But anyway, what we're going to do, Jason, so we're going to plan Jason's day. Sorry about this. We're going to plan his day. And once we planned his day in step three, we're going to get straight into that step four. Let's get his past written down, his resentments, his fears, his sex conduct, the people he's harmed. He has 2 weeks. He has 2 weeks to get this on paper. No beating around the bush, 2 months, 3 months. It ain't going to work. 2 weeks maximum, and then we're going to share it. And when he comes to my house and we sit down and we're going to do his step five, all I'm going to do, I'm going to look, he's going to share it with me. I'm not interested in a detailed discussion on every single resentment. When Jason sees the truth in his behavior, when Jason sees where he was wrong, where he was at fault, what part of Jason caused the problem, and it's generally our self-will and our arrogance, now in consideration of people, our selfish self-centeredness. When Jason sees that, I'm going to go next, 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 keep reading, Jason, and we're going to go through all of his resentments. Sometimes there'll be the big one with the family, the parents or the wife, or that needs a bit of discussion. We're going to go into that. He will see where he's wrong, but he needs to tell me that his wife's a nightmare and his parents are a nightmare. And we're going to discuss it and we're going to go through it. We're going to simplify it. This is his inventory. And when he sees his wrongs, we're going to write them on paper. I've got a list of paper, two lists of paper. I've got one with step one on six and one's at nine. And six, I'm going to write down Jason's defects. And on number nine, I'm going to write down who he needs to make amends to. When we've gone through his five, we're going to go straight into six and seven. I'm going to point out his defects. Are you willing to have him removed, Jason? Or do you want to stay as you are? Because if you stay as you are, you're going to drink. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning, Jason, you were going to go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. Any lengths. No half measures, right? Page 58. Read 58. It's a page full of warnings. Half measures avail us nothing. And we get to the turning point. We make that decision. We get to 6. He's willing. And on 7, we're on our knees again. Second time we're down, me and Jace. We're going to say the prayer. We're going to ask God to remove our defects. He's going to have every single one of them. God's going to have all of me, good and bad. He just don't want Jason's bad crap. He wants all of Jason. Jason's going to go and do his bidding to keep Jason sober. Then we get to 8 and 9. The list of amends. Is he willing? Of course, because he was willing to go to any lengths. And I don't let up on him. Let me tell you, I'm going to bully him into it. I'm going to push him into it. We're going to get to step 9. We're going to make the list for 9s. We're going to go and start making our 9s. And we're straight into step 10. By this time, Jason's been restored to sanity. He now sees the truth in the person that he'd become. He's starting to feel better, look better, smell. He smells a lot better, and he's great. We get to 10, and 10's that daytime step. He now understands that, Jason, you need to set right your wrongs throughout the day. He goes, I know that, Keith. When you're wrong, promptly admit it. I don't like doing that. You probably don't. But it was agreed you go 20 lengths, and you've got a chance. So you need to do that. And then we get to 11. 11 through prayer and meditation. Step 11, we come to the 24-hour plan. In the morning, we're going to plan our day. Before we begin, Jason's going to sit down with a bit of quiet time and plan his day. And then throughout the day, if he's agitated or doubtful, he's going to say the prayer. He's going to pause when agitated and take a step back. If step 10 is that daytime step, it's going to clear any wreckage up because we will make mistakes. It's 100% we're going to make mistakes. But now we have the tools. Not to get pissed off, not to get angry. We may do a little bit, but we have tools to deal with that. And we're going to deal with it for the day. Now, at nighttime, he's going to do his nighttime inventory with him and God, the review. What could he have done better? Who did he harm? The resentments, the fears. What should he have done instead? And then we get to 12, and 12 is what we do now. 12, Jason's had a spiritual awakening. He's different. He looks different, like I said about Sandra and Kathy and the people I see on here. They look different because they're longer sober. They're attending meetings. They're doing what they should be doing. Jason's had a spiritual awakening as a result of the steps. His job is now to carry the message as it was carried to him. He needs to go out and seek a newcomer and lay out that spiritual toolkit and take him through the program of action exactly like he got took through with me, like my sponsor did with me, and so on all the way back through our lineage. But then he needs to practice the principles of the 12 steps. He needs to be honest, self-sacrificing, selfless. He needs to be considerate of other people, carry them Christian principles, and be the better person. Be the better person. The whole program is to find the power, seeking the power you lack. And then to maintain that power, we need to work with somebody else. I've took Jason by the hand, and I've took him for the program of action. Jason's now recovered from alcoholism. Recovered means he's found the power that he's lacked. He's not cured of it. He's still got the allergy. Now Jason's going to go and seek another one. And while Jason goes to seek a newcomer, I'm going to go and get Peter. Peter's next. And then me and Peter are going to go through the program of action, exactly the same as me and Jason did. And Jason will go and get, let's say Harry, right? Jason's going to go and get Harry, and he'll lead him through. And I will nurture Jason and teach him how to sponsor somebody else. Sponsorship is easy. The rewards are vast. Let me tell you, you cannot go wrong. The only way you could screw this up is to not do it. Because there's people out there reaching out. I'm going to finish on this. Not everybody that comes to you will be a success. Let me tell you that. I've lost hundreds, not hundreds, I've lost a load of sponsees that are not willing to go to any length. To not do what they should be doing. They get to 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, and they just disappear. They don't call no more. They don't turn up at meetings no more. It's no fault of my own. It's not the program that I'm laying out. Not everybody is willing to do the work. Not everybody is willing to go to any lengths to get a spiritual experience. And we have to let them go with love. I lost about 7 sponsees in a row one time, a long time ago. About 7 sponsees, and I phoned my sponsor. I said, listen, I've lost 7. And the guy laughed at me down the phone. So it's not that funny, Frank. He said, I lost 31. Made me feel a whole lot better because he lost 31. And he was still there sponsoring other people. You're not always going to get a success story. The idea of working with other people is it makes you immune from alcohol. It gives you a way of life that's indescribably wonderful. And I'm going to finish now and just say, come join us on the board, Ivory. If you're unsure, if you need guidance, there's plenty of people in a group. We will always help you, teach you how to do the work. It's not difficult. Fear is one of them things that puts us off everything. Face the fear and recover. Thank you.